All right, so we have been in this series that we've simply entitled Tuned Up because a lot of times we can get out of whack as we go through life. And especially, you know, summertime too, it can be one of those times where we're doing a lot of different things. We're out of a routine and we just kind of lose kind of focus. And so we've really come off of this simple verse that where Jesus Christ was asked the question, what's the most important thing, right? What is the most important thing? And his answer was so profound. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And last week we talked about the fact that he said, oh, and by the way, let me just add this. This is for free. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we look at this, we're like, okay, how does that fit into our lives? As we think about how we're supposed to love God with the entirety of our being, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, what does that look like? Because that sounds really good, doesn't it? Like you probably, if you've been a Christian for a long time, you probably have that on a mug somewhere. You know, the love of the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your mind. But the question is, how does that actually look? And so we've taken time during this series to go, this is how it looks. And today, we're talking about work. How does it look to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength while you're at work? You're like, I don't have any idea. That is a quandary, right? Do you know, this may either inspire or depress you, do you know that the average person spends 150,000 hours in their lifetime at work? 150,000 hours of their lifetime in work. That is two-thirds of your life. Two-thirds of your life is spent working. Now, here's the thing. As your pastor, my job, my role is to teach you the Word of God, to be able to take it and apply it into your life. If we didn't talk about something that consumed two-thirds of your life, I think I would be kind of not doing my job. So we're going to talk about work today. We're going to talk about how to do work. There was an interesting study where they asked people how satisfied they were at work and all these different questions. But then there was a really interesting question that they asked. If you could do something else, would you do it? Almost 70% of the people responding go, yeah. If I could do something else, I would absolutely jump ship and do it. They weren't like, oh, so if you could do something else and make $1 million in 2 years, would you do it? No, it was like, if you could do anything else, would you do it? That means that the vast majority, right, 6 to 7 out of 10 people that are working are not feeling satisfied, fulfilled, or joyful in their work. Now, I know a lot of people say this. They say, well, that's because work is a result of the fall. Work is a result of the fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, then you know what? That's why. That's why. When Adam and Eve sinned, then work became a reality, but that's not true. In fact, do you know the first thing that God did? The first thing that God said to Adam? So the Bible records this in Genesis chapter 2. It says, you know, God formed Adam, and then the Bible says that he takes the man and he places him inside of the garden, and then there's this phrase, to work it, to actually do a job. That was before the fall. That was before Eve. That was before it all, right? He said, you have a job to do. Now, I'm going to tell you this really quickly because this is so important. Y'all, retirement is not found in the Bible. Now, if you're retired, I'm not like, oh, no. But the idea of ceasing from working, ceasing from doing something, ceasing from being productive is not a concept that God created. In fact, if we look through the totality of Scripture, there's a lot of people that God used when they were in what we would consider retirement age. Abraham was 100 before he had his first kid. There you go. There's a goal for all you guys out there. No. He was before he had his first kid, right? And Moses was 80 before he started doing what God was calling him to actually do. We have all these people all through Scripture who God used at all sorts of different ages. And oh, by the way, if you're young, God also used a lot of teenagers in the Bible too. There's a guy named Josiah who was the king of Israel at the age, I think it was 11. Can you imagine being king with total autonomy at 11 years of age? I would have the coolest Hot Wheels on the planet. But God uses you no matter what age you are, no matter where you are in life, no matter what stage you are in life, God has a job for you to do. So how do you find that? So first of all, we want to do this real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9. Because we're going to begin with this, because this kind of helps set up our big idea. And the writer Solomon, who was the wisest, richest, most powerful man that ever lived, wrote this book, and it's his musings on life, right? The questions that he asks about life. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9, he asks the question that a lot of people today are asking, and that is, what's the point of work? He literally says this. He says, what do people really get for all their hard work? He's like, what's the point of going to work? What's the point of working? And there's a lot of people today that are like, yeah, I buy into that. I would much rather sit at home and have the government pay me just to sit at home. I would much rather not do anything. I would much rather just sit around and let other people do it, because you know what? In fact, it was interesting. I read an article. I'm not kidding. It was in the LA Times. And just bear with me, because this is so funny. It was literally all about the fact that there are some people who just, it's in their DNA. They just are averse to working hard. And it's just, it really should be considered a disability. That if you don't like working hard, then really you should be categorized as a disability, because you shouldn't have to work if you don't want to work. What? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, like, are you kidding me? That really was an article, an editorial, whole thing, all about not having to work. But so we have to ask the question, what's the point of work? And here, that's the answer, is our big idea. Knowing why I work. Knowing why I work is more important than where I work. Knowing why I work is more important than where I work. By the end of the day today, by the end of our time, I'm going to give you a couple things, because if you are like most people, you know, 60 to 70% of the population here in the United States, there's a large segment of your 150,000 hours that you're working that you don't enjoy work. And so my goal is today to do two things. Either help you identify what's going on inside you that needs to change so that you can enjoy work, or to help you identify that you're doing the wrong work. Because both can be true, right? Have you ever been in a job that you knew, like, instantaneously, you knew, this does not fit me. Like, we talk about it all the time, right? We encourage you to volunteer. It's a part of your spiritual discipleship, is to find a place where you can volunteer. But we say it all the time, jokingly, if you hate to smile, you probably shouldn't be on the welcome team. If you think kids are disgusting, you probably shouldn't work in Kids Zone. If you think tea is better than coffee, you probably should not be on the coffee team. I'm just saying, we're just doing that. So that's the reality. There's certain things that don't fit who you are. And so one of the things that we're going to do today, we're going to go through these things, is this going to help you discover whether or not what you're doing is really what you should be doing, and maybe you should find something else. Now, that doesn't mean, and here's the thing, listen to me really carefully, because I don't want to get an angry email from somebody going, well, you told me I should stop working. No, it doesn't mean you should stop working. But it does mean you may need to look for something else that's going to actually be more fulfilling so that you can do this. So the reason we work is because God gave it to us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to what? To work. He put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Now here's what this tells us. Part of your design as a human being, part of your ability to understand and fulfill your purpose in life is to actually work. It's to work. Now, it may not be for money. It may be for somebody else. It may be in a different context, but it's to work. It is not to sit around and let people work for you. It's not to just sit around and not be productive. It's actually to be productive with the things and the tools and the gifts that God has given you. That is actually a part of it. The very first thing that he did is he put him in the garden, and he says to understand and to actually work it. You will never fully understand, appreciate, or fulfill your purpose apart from work. Now, here's what sin does do, okay? Here's what the fall did do. Because once Adam and Eve sinned, then God makes this statement. He says, Adam, you will work the ground, and it will basically reject you. There's going to be thorns, and there's going to be thistles, and there's going to be animals that eat stuff, and it's going to make work hard. So if you want to blame Adam and Eve for something, they made work hard. So you can write them a letter, take it with you, burn it. I'm sure they'll get it, okay? So They made work hard, but here's the thing. It doesn't mean that work can't be fulfilling. Have you ever done something really hard, and when you were done, you're like, oh, man, that was awesome. It was fulfilling. So just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not fulfilling. It doesn't mean it's something that you shouldn't do. The bottom line is this. If you're able to work and you choose not to work, you are actually living in direct opposition from God's purpose for you. Think about that. If you are able to work and you choose not to work, you are actually living in direct opposition of God's life for you. Now, work does take all sorts of forms, doesn't it? There's all sorts of different forms and shapes of work. If you're a stay-at-home mom, let me tell you something, that's work. That is work. In fact, the reality is your family, if they had to pay you, could not afford you. We know that to be true. There are things that you do. Maybe you're independently wealthy. If you are, I'd love to have a conversation with you afterwards. Maybe you're independently wealthy. And you don't work for money, but you work and you volunteer your services and you do different things. Or you're retired and you're like, hey, listen, I've got this unbelievable pension, and even though the stock market sucks right now, I'm still doing great. You serve in other capacities. You do different things. But the bottom line is you don't just sit around. And by the way, if you're a teenager, do you know what your work is? To excel in school and do well. Do your homework. There you go, moms and dads. You are welcome. Okay, so regardless of how your work looks, or whether or not it pays you, it is part of God's purpose for your life. That's why all the people who sit at home and they just sit around and collect money and they choose not to work, do you realize that they are often miserable? Have you ever met somebody like that? They're miserable. Why? Because they're not fulfilling God's purpose. They're not fulfilling the destiny that God has for them. And so we understand that when we get that idea that work is actually a part of God's purpose for your life, even as it relates to your work, until you actually learn what it is that God has for you, until you actually do that work, you will never be fulfilled and you'll never actually truly be happy. So going back to the question that Solomon asked in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9, what is the point of work? Why do we actually work? What possible purpose could there be in my work? And maybe you're sitting there and you're like, Dave, give me one good reason, just one, why I should work. Well, I'm going to give you six. Okay, so here we go. And they're going to be increasing, okay? If you're into psychology or anything like that, there's this thing called Maslow's priority of needs. And it starts with like the most basic need, okay? So that's where we're going to start. We're going to start with the most basic to the most complex. So here is the very first, most basic reason why you should work according to Scripture. I work to make a living. I work to make a living. So I've said this, I don't know how many times, and I'll say it to my dying breath. If something happened today and friendship closes doors or whatever, I would flip burgers for 80 hours a week to provide for my family, because that is part of my responsibility as a husband, is to provide, to make a living for those that, you know, I support. That's part of my responsibility. The Bible actually says that we're to actually be someone that does that. And so if you have a family, part of your responsibility and the reason that you work is to make a living. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. A hard worker has plenty of food. So if you work hard and you work smart and you do those things, you have the finances, usually. Again, we're talking about our system and our culture. There are other places where it's not necessarily true. But if you are willing to work hard, you will have enough money to be able to have food. And I love the way that the writer puts the second half. But a person who chases fantasies has no sense. In other translations, it says they're simply a fool. Have you ever met somebody, and don't point, but have you ever met somebody that they never met a get-rich-quick scheme that they didn't try? Because they apparently had the disability of hard work because they didn't want to work hard. But here's the thing. Hard work is not a bad thing. Hard work is a good thing because it causes you to be able to have the finances to make a living. And God has set you up to be able to actually provide for yourself. Now, are there cases where people are unable to provide for themselves? Absolutely. Absolutely. We understand that. We know that. There's that reality in our world. But I am so inspired and encouraged by seeing people who have had massive disabilities, but yet, because of their hard work, they are still able to provide for themselves. Have you seen the guy? I love it. The guy, he's from Australia. He has no legs. He has no arms. He has a flipper for a foot. That's it. And he is a motivational speaker. I love it. He is unbelievable to listen to because he's like, listen, don't let anything, listen, if I can do this, then literally anyone can do it. And so the truth is if you're willing to work hard, even a lot of the disabilities that we call out today as disabilities can be things that can be used for an advantage that you have. So number one reason is I work to make a living. Bible says, hey, that's our responsibility. Number two reason, here we go. I work to express my gifts. I work to express my gifts. If you are an accountant, let me put it this way. If you are a successful accountant, you're probably good with numbers. You probably like numbers. You probably enjoy doing numbers and tables and spreadsheets and things like that that give the rest of us hives. Now, if you are a teacher, you're a teacher, you probably are good if you're, well, put it again, if you're a good teacher, you're probably good at verbal skills. You are able to talk, you're able to communicate. It doesn't freak you out to stand in front of 20 third graders and share with them this idea or this concept or this type of thing. You're probably good at that. Have you noticed that the people that tend to be good at their jobs, they have something? If you're a salesman, let me tell you something. People bust salesmen all the time. It is an art form and it is a gift to be able to be a salesman. Have you ever had a bad salesman before? Oh my word. You're like, dude, how are you making any money? You're like, I'm not. Because you have to be good, and so you work to express your gifts. When you actually find work that fits within your gifts, you're going to have more joy at work because you get to be who you are. If you have to pretend to be something else to be able to do your work, even if it is financially a good thing, you may be miserable. And so the second reason is I work to express my gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's merciful, wonderful gifts. One of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So, use your gift well. Now, of course, this context, he's talking specifically about the church, right? But here's the thing. The gifts that God has given you, your talents, your abilities, your personality, all of those different things, we use the term shape, S-H-A-P. Your spiritual gifts, your heartbeat, your passions, your ability, your personality, and your experiences. God uses those things to shape you so that you can do all that God has called you to do. And so as you look at your job, ask the question, are you able to actually express your gifts in doing that? Number three reason, I work to develop my character. Now, God may be using your work right now like a fine-tuned pinpoint laser and carving off small parts of your personality or shaping up or tightening up parts of your character to help you become the person that He's called you to be. But God may also be using your work like a sledgehammer. Because you got some bigger areas that He's working on, that He's trying to knock off of you, because God is more concerned about your character. God's more concerned about your character than what's in your bank account. His desire is to make you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He uses work to do that. You go, well, yeah, but I really want big things. Well, do you know that God never thrusts big things on people? He always prepares them first. In fact, we see this in the book of Psalms where the writer is talking about Joseph. Now, if you don't remember the story of Joseph, Joseph was one of 12 brothers, and God chose Joseph. He said, Joseph, I'm going to make you something significant. And He gave him these dreams, and He gave him these passions and these abilities and these unbelievable things. And yet, it was interesting, it wasn't until Joseph was in his late 30s that any of it became reality. And before that, he got betrayed by his brothers. He got thrown into a pit. He got sold as a slave. He was accused of rape. He was forgotten about in prison for years. And it was in prison that God finally goes, okay, now your character is ready. And you go, oh, why do you say that? Well, Psalm 105:19, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's what? Character. He was preparing him with all this other stuff that wasn't fun, that wasn't enjoyable, and much of it was work. Even while he was in prison, he was given a task to do. And those tasks and those things actually equipped him to be able to do what he ended up doing, which was being second in command of all of Egypt and saving millions of people's lives because of how he dealt with the coming famine. So we have those things. We have make a living, right? That's the basic needs. That's like the lowest thing. Then you go, okay, make a living and express my gifts. So that's part one. Part two, okay, this is great. And the third thing, developing my character, is helping me become more like Christ. And then number four, I work to show Christ. I work to show Christ. Are you, in how you're doing and what you're doing at work, revealing and showing and pointing people to Jesus Christ? Are you doing that? There are some jobs where that's not possible. You go, what jobs, Dave? Well, drug dealer, that would be one. Stripper, probably number two. Enforcer for the mob, that'd be another one. There are some jobs that you can't show Christ in, right? And so on top of that, though, you're like, well, I'm not any one of those, but you may be a delivery driver, you may be a mechanic, you may be a salesman, you may own your own business. So ask the question, how are you showing Christ? How are you showing Christ through your work? You may need to get creative. And here's what I'm not talking about, okay? I want to be really clear. They're like, oh, Dave means we need to get one of those t-shirts from the family bookstore and trinkets, you know? It says, you know, God's, you know, weight room or something like that. No. I'm talking about your life, how you do your job. Do you do your job with integrity? Do you do your job with grace? Do you do your job with character? Listen to what this says here. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, okay, whatever you do, and whatever you say, well, that's pretty important, whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him through God the Father. So whatever you do, so whether you drive a car, drive a bus, you do delivery routes, you're an over-the-road truck driver, you're a salesman, you work at an office, you're a data entry person, you're a teacher, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, whatever it is, how are you doing that to the glory of God? Well, I'll give you one small example. If we're doing it for the glory of God, on a scale of 1 to 100, how well do we want to do that job if we're doing it for God? 100, right? But if you look at the work that you typically do, if it's in the mid-50s, we've got some room to grow, don't we? We're like, well, yeah, but everybody else doesn't do that. I get it. I understand it. But you're not doing it for everybody else. You're doing it for who? Because your work is a part of God's work in your life. And so everything you do, whether it's at work or at home, it should be done for the glory of God. And anything you do for the glory of God should be done with the best of your ability. You should be the best bagger. You should be the best talker. You should be the best teacher. You should be the absolute best construction person. You should be the best driver. Whatever it is, you should be the absolute best that you possibly can be, because you're doing it for the glory of God, but you're also doing it as a representative of God, which means this. When people find out that you're a Christian, are they going to go, yeah, I figured, because his work is subpar? Unfortunately, that's true a lot, isn't it? Or are they going to go, wow, that's interesting. That's impressive. That's awesome. Because they work hard. And then here's the cool part. When they ask you, why do you work so hard? You go, well, because, you know, my job is to glorify God. That's my job. No, your job is to do this. Well, yeah, I know it, but in my job, I'm to glorify God. And so I want to do it to the best of my ability. All right, number five. I work to help others. We think work as a very selfish thing, don't we? That's about us. But if we understand and we work kind of our way up this pyramid and we're like, okay, it's making a living and expressing my gifts, developing my character, and, you know, it's showing Christ, then we come to the help others. Because, by the way, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and also love your neighbor as yourself. So how can you help others at your job? Now, maybe this is an easy one for you. Maybe you're in the service industry, right? Or you're in the hospital industry or whatever, and you're like, your job is to make people feel better. You're like, oh, I got this one done. Maybe it's a little bit harder for you. Maybe you're in an industry that makes it a little bit more difficult. You're like, you have to get a little more creative. How can I help others through this? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. And then he gives the reason why. So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. You see, when we get in work, we tend to get siloed and we tend to think about us and our needs. And what the Bible says is that one of the responsibilities, one of the reasons, one of the purposes of work is to get your eyes off of just yourself and actually begin to look at other people and ask the question, how can my work be a benefit to those around me? Sometimes it's conversation. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's, you know, it's helping out financially with somebody else. Whatever that looks like, but you're like, hey, I want my work to actually help other people. All right, number six. This is the top. This is the thing. Here we go, ready? I work to build the kingdom. I work to build the kingdom. So, it's funny, when we go on vacation, I'm going to be real honest with you here. This is 100% authentic, know-nothing. I'll be real honest with you. When we go on vacation, especially because I'm a pool rat, okay? So I'm like, when we go on vacation, it's got to have a good pool because that's where I am. People are like, oh, so do you like the beach? No, I hate the beach. I'm like, well, why? Because it has sand. And sand gets in everything. It gets in all your food. It gets in every nook and cranny. You get chafed. It is not an enjoyable thing. I am not a fan. But the pool is awesome. And that's where I hang out. I'm just, whew. And invariably, because Tracy has one of those faces that everyone wants to come and talk to it, we'll be sitting there and somebody will float over to us. And I'm like, no, don't. And they float over and they want to have a conversation with us, right? And so, yes, nice, that's great. Oh, you're from Georgia. That's fantastic. Okay, well, look at that over there. I always try to get them to go up. But here, listen, invariably the question comes up, what do you do? Now, let me tell you what happens when people find out what I do for a living. It's one of two things. Either I begin to hear about all their problems, and you're like, really? I'm like, oh. Listen, I met a guy a few years ago who I heard about all three of his ex-wives, about his business down in Texas where he shoots cranes, because, man, cranes, they're the chicken of the sky. And all this stuff, literally, all this stuff. Or they immediately become very religious. It's one of two things. I'm like, they were just swearing, and they've had, you know, 17 shots of tequila, and they can barely stand, but, man, they love Jesus. I'm like, okay. But often their response is, oh, you're a minister. And I love responding this way when people say that. Well, I'm a minister because I'm a Christian. But my job is I'm a pastor. Because if you know Jesus Christ, you're a minister. You're like, well, no, I've never been to school. Trust me, that's probably a positive thing. You're a minister. God has given you ministry gifts, right? Spiritual gifts. If you accepted Jesus Christ, he's given you gifts to use. And your gifts are to be used in service of others. And so part of your role, part of the reason that you're here still after accepting Jesus Christ is because he's called you to be a minister. You're like, oh, so I should quit work? And I said, no. Where you are. You should be a minister right where you are. And here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying going with the biggest Bible that you can find and at the break room be waiting and talk to people and say, do you know Jesus? Because they don't want to talk to you. But being a light and being a minister and being an encourager to the people that you work with is part of your job. It's part of the work that God has given you to do, to build the kingdom of God. And listen to this, and I love this. You go, well, yeah, but at work I'm supposed to be focused on work. Yeah, but if you want to excel at work, one of the things that you need to do is you need to have a bigger picture of why you're working. Because while you're working, when you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you go in when it's cold or you stay out when it's hot, whatever that is, when you understand that it's not just to get a paycheck, that God has you perfectly positioned to minister to the people that are there, it changes your perspective. And when you can change your perspective, it actually allows you to be more successful. Listen to this. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. And live righteously. And he will give you what? You see, we get it all flipped around. We say, once I'm successful at work, then I'll do X, Y, Z. But God goes, here, listen, if you put me first and you actually will minister to the people around you and you'll work hard because you're working for the glory of God, then I will actually make sure that you have everything you need, because the most important thing you can do while you're here on this earth is to build the kingdom of God. You know what's interesting? When you think about it, who do nurses tend to spend time with? Other nurses. Who do construction workers tend to spend their time with? Other. Who do moms outside of their own kids tend to spend their time with? Other moms. You see, whatever your job is, that's your mission field. That's where God has called you to do ministry. And yeah, you do ministry here, you know, you serve and you volunteer and you do that. That's awesome. We love that. That's certainly a part of that. But don't just let it stop here, because the kingdom of God is built out there. That's where it happens. And that's where you make those connections. So think about how you can win your coworkers to Jesus Christ. If you're a team leader, how can you be the most Christ-like leader and point them to Jesus Christ? How can you encourage them? How can you nurture them? How can you be there for your team? And maybe you've got a level of influence, however that might look. You use your influence to actually leverage to show people what Jesus Christ is like. You use your peers, those people around you, to encourage them, to show them what Jesus Christ is like. Now, I will say this, though, because sometimes God does a lot of this work and shaping your character and teaching you what it means to help other people, and he's got something else in mind that you don't even know is happening yet. So I got permission, and I'm going to share this story really quickly, okay? It's one of my best friends in the whole wide world. His name is Josh Lader. Some of you have met him before. We jokingly call him the anorexic muscle. He's like 6'6", maybe 3% body fat, and he is just all muscle. And he is a Michigan State trooper. And ever since I've known Josh and my conversations with him, his whole life he has wanted to be a Michigan State policeman. He went to Michigan State University. He was offered by Nick Saban, who was the head coach at that point in time, to play tight end for the Michigan State football team, but it would have gotten in the way of his studies of being a Michigan State police officer, so he decided not to. As he came out of the academy after a couple of years, he had two different governors of the state of Michigan ask for him by name to be on their security team. He turned them both down. If you want to know why, I'll share with you later. But he turned them down. He became one of the youngest lieutenants in the entire Michigan State Police history. He became the youngest post commander. They only have 30 posts in the entire state of Michigan, including the Upper Peninsula. He became the youngest post commander in the history of the MSP. He, in his mid-40s, is on the executive track to be a colonel or potentially even the head of the Michigan State Police if the right person gets in charge to actually choose him. And he's stepping away. He's retiring early. He's retiring early because his church, the Community Church of Mount Pleasant, Michigan, where we met them, is doing a church plant in their town, which is about 20 minutes south of them. And he's been an elder there for years. And they said, hey, would you be interested? Would you be interested in leading this new plant? This is a guy whose entire life has been geared to being the absolute best Michigan State police officer that he could possibly be. And he has wild success at it. They called us about a month and a half ago, and they sounded like a two-year-old who was given their first doll. They were giggling, and they were laughing. We're like, what's going on? They're like, Josh is quitting his job. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, he's retiring early because he's going to be the campus pastor for this new plant. And we're like, so we're just done. And they're so excited. They had no idea. A year ago, if you'd have thrown this at them, and you'd be like, I don't think so. But God had taken all of this stuff and developed his character and changed all these things so that when this opportunity came to be able to do something, he was able to step into it. Now, here's why I tell you that. I'm not saying everybody should be a pastor. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying sometimes what you're doing right now is not God's plan in the end. It's God's plan for you right now. And God's using it to shape you and develop you. And the job that you're doing is developing your character. It's putting food on the table. It's helping you help others. It's helping you show Christ. But it's not the end result. But if you are faithful where you are right now, then God will continue to move and set up whatever it is that he has ready for you in the long term. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Now, one last thing before I finish, because I said, you know, we're going to give you the ability to be able to look at whether or not what you're doing right now is what you're supposed to be doing. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to simply take the word can, C-A-N, and put it in front of all those. So I want you to think about what you're doing right now. I want you to think about your work. Now remember, this is not an excuse to walk in tomorrow and go, I quit! No. But this is a framework in which you can look at and go, okay, is this where God wants me right now at this point in my life? So here it is. Can I work here and make a living? That's a good question. If you're not making a living, if you are not providing for your needs, then you probably need to make a change. Can I work here and make a living? Can I work here and express my gifts? If what you're doing doesn't line up with your gifts, it may be time to begin to look for something else. Can I work here and express my gifts? Can I work here and develop my character? Sometimes the job that you're at is actually making your character worse. It could be because of your mindset, and it could be because of the boss. It could be because of the job. But can I work here and develop my character? Can I work here and show Christ? Again, I'm not talking about standing in the break room and preaching at people. I'm talking about showing the character of Christ wherever you are. Can I work here and help others? And finally, can I work here and build the kingdom of God? And when you align all six of these, when all six of these are happening, you're going to walk into work with a joy, with an enthusiasm, with an excitement. You're going to leave each day going, I did what I was supposed to do. Oh, you fulfilled all the boxes? No. Yeah, I did that. But that's not my big picture. My big picture was this. And you can walk out every day with a joy in your heart, and you're going to actually be fulfilled at work. You're actually going to love work, and you're actually going to be great at work. And so that 150,000 hours won't just be to make a living. It'll actually be laying the foundation for a legacy that God is going to use you to ultimately build the kingdom of God. Because work isn't a necessary evil. It's actually a part of God's plan for you to become the man or the woman that God has called you to be. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your gifts to us. We thank you. We thank you for the ability to work. God, you know, that's something that sometimes often we take for granted. There's a lot of people in our world who struggle, whether because the opportunity is not there or because the physical ability is not there. And so they can't work. And so, God, we thank you for that, first of all. We thank you for the ability to work. We thank you for the breath that you give us each day. We thank you for the intelligence that you give us. We thank you for the personality and the drive that you give us to get up each and every single day and continue to do what you've called us to do. And, God, regardless of what our work looks like, I pray that we will take this framework which you've laid out in Scripture, that this is the purpose of work. This is why we do what we do. This is why we get up every day and we work hard, because it's not just for making a living, but God, you're working in those things. You're working in our work to do the work in us, and we thank you for that. And God, now as we respond with the truth that we understand no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, that God, you are there. In fact, you've been pursuing us all along. And God, maybe even this week as we go to work, we begin to see those flickering moments, those flashes where we see you doing something. And we realize, God, you've called us and you've equipped us to step into that moment and be the minister there. Or maybe, God, you give us that opportunity to excel at something, and we walk away not having pride in ourselves because of how good we are, but rather a joy in our hearts because we did it to the best of our ability, and God, that gave you glory. And we're so thankful for that. I pray that the people that are connected to Friendship Church would be the absolute best employee, the absolute best boss, the absolute best owner or entrepreneur that can be found where they work. And God, that they would reach the people there, that they would show the people there what it's like to be a true follower of Jesus Christ in how they live. And I thank you for that, God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. In the glory of Jesus Christ, amen.